Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's talk a little more Browns, and we talk to, oh, she's the best, Mary Kay Cabot from The Plain Dealer and Cleveland.com. She's on the Fan Hotline. Hi, Mary Kay. Happy Thanksgiving.
Hello, guys. How you doing? Happy Thanksgiving to you,
too. What's up, Mary Kay?
We are good. It's a lot more fun to talk about a win than a loss, but obviously the big storyline is all about Shedeur Sanders, and yesterday it felt like Kevin kind of went, I don't want to say went against what he had previously kind of projected, but he decided to stay with Shedeur for another game. He said, you got to get the win, let's keep going, or you got a guy who's won, let's keep going. Were you surprised at all that with Dylan Gabriel being out of concussion protocol that he decided to go back to Shedeur?
No, because I had asked him on two different occasions previously if the Dylan Gabriel getting cleared and playing was going to be only dealing with the Raiders game. And he said, yes, that was just a week to week thing. That wasn't, hey, as soon as he, as soon as he gets cleared, he's back into the starting lineup. It was never that. That was always just going to be about the Raiders game. So I wasn't surprised at all, especially based on the fact that Shedeur won the game. He pushed the ball downfield. He did some really good things. There's no way you can take him out of the starting lineup after that.
We agree completely. And we want to see more. I also want to see him maybe play an all-around better game, Mary Kay. He looks like a young guy who's just growing, and that's perfectly okay. And so I can't wait to see more. What do you expect to see against a 49er defense that's maybe a little more susceptible to the pass?
Well, it's going to be I think as he goes along, he's going to have tougher games than he had against the Raiders. And teams are going to game plan for him, and they're going to try to find ways to get to him on the blitz, and they're going to try to figure out ways to shut him down. But I think the good thing about Shedeur is that he's very confident in his ability to throw the ball deep. He will push the ball down the field. There's probably not a one-on-one matchup down the field that he doesn't think he can beat. He's got such incredible accuracy that's why he feels that way about himself. He knows he can put the ball where it needs to go, and he throws a very catchable ball. So it gives him that confidence to take those deep shots, and that's what the Browns need. They need some explosives in this offense to loosen things up and open things up for everyone else.
Mary Kay, I haven't seen the accuracy in the games. When do you think we're going to see it? Because you've talked about that a lot. I know he was very accurate in college, but I haven't seen it in the NFL.
Well, there hasn't been much of a sample size.
Exactly
yet,
right.
He hasn't had much of an opportunity. And, of course, in order to be as accurate as you want to be, you have to have the time. And he's been under siege a lot. I mean, they're blitzing him, and that's going to continue. But I think just the ability to get that ball downfield to Isaiah Bond, that was a heck of a throw right there under the kind of duress he was under on that throw. And even just the little throws, the shorter throw to Dylan Sampson to make sure you're getting that where it needs to go, is important. I mean, we saw Dylan Gabriel miss that similar throw to Malachi Corley. He overthrew him on that. So even just the completions that he's had, I thought he did a great job on the 39-yarder to Jerry Jeudy. He had to roll out. Once again, he's under duress. He's got a defender bearing down on him, and he lifts the pass over him and gets it right in the hands of Jerry Jeudy. So I thought he showed that accuracy in that game. I thought he also showed it in the two-minute drill against the Ravens when he got the ball into the hands of Gage Larvadan in the end zone, and also when he hit the first play of that drive to Harold Fannin over the middle. So I think it has been there already in the NFL, and I think you'll see more of it as you go forward.
Mary Kay, what do you think Kevin's relationship is with Shador, or even Dylan in that case? And is it because these guys are rookies, or is it just because, you know, Kevin truly wants to play this one game at a time? Because I think, you know, fans are saying, well, he didn't say enough about him in the postgame speech. Why didn't he give him a game ball? I'm listening to some of the stuff. It's dribble to me in a lot of ways, but it's also, I'm just wondering what you think the relationship is.
Well, people just keep wanting to read something into the Kevin Stefanski, Shador Sanders relationship that is not there. It's just not true. It's complete fiction. I mean, the things that people should be paying attention to are all the extra time the Browns have taken to develop Shador Sanders and all the one-on-one time Kevin Stefanski has spent with Dylan in his office going over his tape from the day before. That's not something that Kevin was ever going to tell us. Myles Garrett revealed that, and then we got it out of Kevin. But he's not going to sit there and pat himself on the back for what a great job he's been doing with Shador Sanders. First of all, it's a group effort. It's Tommy Reese. It's Bill Musgrave. It's Kevin. It's Deshaun helping him out in the room. It's a lot of different things that, you know, that are going on. And Kevin is never going to toot his own horn in that regard. But rest assured, they've been working very, very hard with Shador to get him to this point.
Where does this leave Dylan Gabriel?
Well, we'll have to see. That's why right now it's still a week-to-week thing, and I think that's good. Let's see if Shador can go out there and build on what he did in the previous week, and there might come a point where you do go back to Dylan Gabriel for one reason or another. There, you might need to see a few more games out of Dylan so that you have some more data points heading into the 2026 draft, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that if it makes sense. Now, if Shador is going out there and getting the job done week after week and showing incremental progress and doing a really great job, then Dylan might not get back on the field. But there might come a point where it makes sense to see a little bit more of him as well, depending on what's going on with Shador. But I think the hope inside the building is probably, let's not let it get to that point. Let's see if Shador just can't hang on to this thing and really show them something here. And in a perfect, ideal world, he would show them that he can do the job over the long haul, and they wouldn't have to draft a quarterback in 2026.
It, what has to happen? What do we need to see? Victories? Yeah,
that's a lot in a short period of time.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out how we can get to that point, because I got to tell you, we'll all be better off if one of these two guys wins the job and that they don't have to draft a quarterback next year in the first round.
Yeah, I mean, I still think that I probably would still draft a quarterback in the first round next year if there is one there, because it's really hard to know what you have in just six or seven starts with a rookie. And I think it would be a risk not to take another swing at the plate at a quarterback in the 2026 draft, especially because I think there will be some really good ones there. And if you end up with two really good quarterbacks, then that's a good problem to have. And, you know, I think the only way that Shador, and at this point I think it's only going to be Shador that can make them change their mind on that, he would have to really go out and show them that he has the it factor, that he can manage the game, that he can do everything that he needs to do, and that he has the potential to be a bona fide franchise quarterback. And he might show that. I think he's already shown flashes of that, but let's see what he can do over a period of time. And again, I would still be drafting a quarterback in the first round, but let's see if he can show them enough where they don't feel like they have to.
Okay. Let me agree with you on this. I think you might have an opportunity in this coming draft that you may not have, fingers crossed, for years to come, which is to draft a quarterback high. And if there's one they like, I'm with you. I can't see them passing on that guy. Can you imagine the chaos if they, Barry Kay, we think it's nuts now. What if they draft a guy in the first round next year? Shador's still here, played reasonably well the rest of the way, and you bring those two guys in. That will just be chaos.
Well, they can manage quarterback chaos pretty well here. They, because
Was well said.
They've had so much of it. But I do think, I mean, there is a world in which Shador can provide excitement. He can provide hope. He can try to show them that he is the guy, like he said before the game, that they have found what they're looking for, which was a really cool quote. But I still think that, in my mind, it would be risky to pass on if you have a high enough pick and you can get your hands on one of the best quarterbacks in that draft. I would take the quarterback. What else are you going to take in the first round that trumps a really, really good quarterback? Even if you take him and you end up developing these two guys and you end up with two great starters, and then you can parlay one of them into a number of first round picks. So I'm not passing on a quarterback next year based on what I've seen so far out of the college class. And I think
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life, all told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
A number of these guys are going to come out, even some that people aren't sure that they will. And I just think that that's the best thing. That's the best use of your draft capital in the first round.
Let's talk about Myles Garrett, because, I mean, as frustrated as he might be or seemed like he was a couple weeks ago, man, he continues to take it out on the other teams. And let's not forget the entire defense from Sunday, because 10 sacks, I mean, you got to be kidding me. If they continue to stay at this pace, and I know that Raiders offensive line wasn't exactly the best in the league, but still, to even stay at 80% of that pace, it's unfortunately, with only three wins, the hope and aspirations of a postseason seem to be in the rearview mirror, but this could be a special year when it's all said and done for everything that they've done on defense.
It's been an incredibly special year for them on defense, and it really is unfortunate that it's probably going nowhere, because this is one of the best defenses that I've seen in the NFL, not just with the Cleveland Browns over the years. This is such a dominant defense. They're so good. And, I would guess that if you polled every single team headed to the playoffs, the Browns defense is the one defense they would not want to face in the playoffs. And it's probably obviously not going to happen, but this defense is scary for anybody to face. And they just seem to be getting stronger and better. And the synergy between the defensive tackles and the defensive ends, it's a sight to behold. And I just think that any quarterback that tries to step in against this defense is just going to have one heck of an afternoon the rest of the way.
Mary Kay, you just touched on something that I think is so critical. Malik Collins, Mason Graham, Mike Hall, those defensive tackles are playing really, really good football. How advantageous has that been, first of all, for the whole defense, but for Miles to have that kind of talent playing next to him now?
It's been tremendous for Miles. It's brought out the best in Miles, and he knows it. He gives credit to those guys and the rest of the guys on the defensive line and elsewhere on defense for the success that he's had this season, and rightfully so. Those guys have really helped bring out the best in him. And he's going to end up with the sack record, the single season sack record, which he said as a rookie he wanted to get. And he's going to end up with NFL Defensive Player of the Year. I don't see any way that you can keep him from getting that award this year. And it's just going to be, at least for him and for the Browns, if they can't get to the playoffs this year, then at least they will have some tremendous accolades from some of their players, including Miles and Carson Schlesinger, who I think will get NFL Defensive Rookie of the Year. So they will have some great things to take away from this season, but it is truly unfortunate that this defense is going for naught this year, because it really is one of the best ever.
Mary Kay, it's such an interesting season, because it's like I keep watching this and I get excited and then I don't. But I will say this one thing, that Shador made that game very interesting and a lot of fun. And it's kind of changed the whole tune of this entire season.
Well, it really has. And when you look back on it now, you know, in retrospect, if they had just gotten some decent quarterback play, some better quarterback play along the way, this team would be going to the playoffs. There were, you know, three or four games that they could have won if they could have scored a few more points and a few things had gone a little bit differently. So that's too bad. There were also a couple games that were lost because of special teams breakdowns, but the defense has done its part, and this team would have been on the way to the playoffs, I think, with just a little bit better QB play.
Mary Kay, as always, thank you. We read your stuff every day. Have a great Thanksgiving, and the best to you and your family over the holidays.
People just keep wanting to read something.
All right, we'll talk to you later, Mary Kay. Cabot, Plain Dealer, Cleveland.com. Make sure you read her every day. On the Fan Hotline.
It's not true. It's complete fiction. I mean, the things that people should be paying attention to are all the extra time the Browns have taken to develop Shador Sanders, and all the one-on-one time Kevin Stefanski has spent in his office going over his tape from the day before. That's not something that Kevin was ever going to tell us. Miles Garrett revealed that, and then we got it out of Kevin. Rest assured, they've been working very, very hard with Shador to get him to this point.
Huh. So Mary Kay Cabot saying that what you think might be a conspiracy is not. Can you take that at the surface? Do you see where you're at on that? Are we okay with that now?
You have a coach, you have a player. Coaches coach, players play. They don't have to love each other, but there you go. Apparently there's been a fine working environment, Andy.
I don't know. Again, the drama is just something we live on drama. We're home of drama. That's
you're the king of drama.
Well, and Mary Kay brought that up too. It's just like, is every quarterback going to be drama when they come to this team?
Yes.
And this is
honestly, I agree with her about quarterback next year.
Yeah.
I think it's probably a pretty small sample size to make a franchise altering decision on the next, what is it, seven games, six games, whatever it is, six games.
Isn't six games better than zero when you're making a franchise altering decision on drafting a quarterback?
But for this, you may not. If all goes well, you're not drafting this high again. But can you imagine the chaos? Let's say Shador finishes the season as the starter and does okay, and they draft somebody else in the first round. Well, you're drafting that guy to play. Chaos, Andy.
It's what we have. We're
chaos.
Good at that.
Let it ensue.
Denzel's in Maple Heights. Hey, Denzel, how are you?
Denzel. Doing good, guys. How y'all doing today?
We're doing good. We're good. They won on Sunday. I'm not sure if anybody knows
that. How about that?
Oh, yeah. You know, we always love that win. Go Browns. Go Browns. I just had a quick little conversation I want to have with you guys. Got time for a conversation. So, first of all, to the Dylan Gabriel camp, to the Shador camp, I think the important thing is to make the main thing the main thing. You're doing a disservice to yourself, the team, and the rookie QBs by focusing or not focusing on the organization's much-needed improvement. Both quarterbacks have been set up to fail. Dylan Gabriel took 6 years to develop into a sixth or seventh-round evaluated QB. He ultimately wound up going to the Browns in the third round. But Dylan played behind a top offensive line in Oregon. I mean, most notably in 2025, PFF had them rated as a top-five O-line. So this guy played against a great O-line, and you evaluate him. Again, quick question. How many times did the Browns get it wrong at QB?
Every.
Oh.
Seriously, since when?
Otto Graham worked out pretty well, Denzel.
You got to go back pretty far. Bernie?
So you get a great prospect in Dylan Gabriel, a good prospect in Dylan Gabriel, who played against and behind a great offensive line, but you bring them to a team with, like, that's our biggest need is an offensive line.
Okay.
You look at that and you say, we have to charge that against the Browns. The thing with the Shador versus Dylan thing, again, disingenuous conversations. When you look at that, you say, well, both guys were misevaluated by the Browns. If you look at how they were evaluated, Shador was evaluated as a first-round pick. I will listen to 92.3 like all summer.
Right.
Everybody was talking about Shador most likely getting picked in the first round. It should be no surprise or shock that a lot of people woke up the next day and was just a surprise as pretty much you guys should have been, since you also spent a lot of time talking about him going in the first round.
Yeah, I thought he was going first round too, but I just didn't
seem that way.
I couldn't believe that. Like, I figured that the worst it was going to be outside of the top 20. I mean, everybody had talked about him going, and you know, for a long time until like the about 2 or 3 weeks right before the draft, everybody had said he was a top 5 pick. Media-wise, I don't know what the scouts were saying. That's the problem.
Didn't you think that in the second round the Browns were going to take him with either the Schlesinger or the Judkins pick?
I knew they wanted a running back at some point, but I thought they would draft him.
When Shador dropped like he dropped, you know, we all just sat around thinking, all right, when's this guy going to go off the board? It was stunning to watch him last till the fifth round.
And so when you see a lot of fans and people around the league, even people who not necessarily Shador fans, but people who just, hey, you know, guys make money off of picking the draft, right? You know, people out here, we make a little bets with our friends and stuff. So people who even watch the draft said, okay, hey, we had arguments. I did hear people say, man, I think he may at best be a second rounder. Fifth, everybody looked surprised. So when you see a lot of fans look at it, we say, okay, to act like that should not kind of raise an eyebrow to a degree is like that's disingenuous. Then on the flip side, those same fans have to watch Dylan Gabriel, who's a...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Evaluated as a 6th or 7th round pick, going the 3rd round before Shador, and we looking and say, yo, what the heck? Then you place this guy who's round, again, behind the top 5 offense and plays very well Oregon. You bring him to a team where offensive line is one of our biggest pain points. So I'm just stepping back to say, before we even talk about the Shador fans, the Gabriel Kappa fans, before we talk about how Kevin treats Shador, let's step back and say, again, if we're talking about going to the draft next year, why would that make sense? And why should we trust them to get it right again when it looked like they just missed twice again? Then miss with the veterans again. We don't even have a veteran presence for any of these rookies, whether we keep one and draft another one.
I just heard that again. They're saying Deshaun's that veteran presence, that Deshaun was there, and that even Mary Kay just said the time that they're spending together talking about this stuff.
Okay. So I can step back on that point. But the overall picture, I mean, guys, I think you understand where I'm coming from. I think overall we step back and don't make it about Shador and don't make it about Gabriel. it looks like the Browns may be fumbling again. And to have to go to the draft again, what else can we call it?
But here's the hard part. I mean, outside of the
Browns is the Browns.
So Denzel, I agree with everything you're saying, but it finally looks like they got a draft that was worthwhile last year.
They did. No, listen, yeah. I thought about it. We were talking about it at the game. I said, man, I want to grab so many of these players' jerseys. I'm going to have to repeat colors. I mean,
marks out of the draft are the two quarterbacks still, you know?
Yeah, and I mean,
everybody else looks like they hit.
I understand it's more football to play as well. Exactly. And I know it's more football to play. Like I said, I actually did like Dylan's game. I think it didn't get to shine, as somebody made a point earlier, because we didn't set him up and put him in the best position to succeed, where we could have maybe done something, an opportunity to maybe have a two-headed dragon at quarterback, and now we could have had one of these veterans or Deshaun, and he's mentoring these two young guys, and now we got a package we make and bring Dylan out, and then we can switch Shador in this package, and we got two running backs, so now we never even played around with a dual running back set that often this season. I mean, we just many mismanagements, many missed opportunities. Maybe we make some differences and some changes with this adjustment with Shador. Yep. But overall, I don't want to simply just keep focusing on a quarterback. Fans focusing on the organization.
Here you go.
Stefanski, step it up.
Thank you, Denzel.
Denzel's on a roll.
Yeah, Denzel was flying there. He was good.
He had some good thoughts there.
He did. It was an interesting conversation. I mean, it was a good conversation.
Well, it gets back to this thought too, Andy.
Mm-hmm.
Do you need Patrick Mahomes? Do you need Brett Favre? Do you need Dan Marino? If you put together a really good team and drop a quarterback, competent quarterback in there. And that quarterback could be Dylan, Deshaun, Shador. You know, punch up the offensive line, give them a couple of wide receivers, and let's go.
So are they set up to fail then? That's my question. Are they? No, are both these guys because of the...
You know what they're set up to do, Andy? They're set up to be young quarterbacks on a team that's building. That's what they're set up to be. I mean, it happens every year in the NFL. And how's Drake May playing?
Right.
Well, he's playing better than he did last year. Why is teams playing better? And Drake May looks like a really good quarterback.
I think if you walk into a second year and feel confident, I'm like, what do you need to feel confidence? I'll say out of either one of these guys, but since Sanders is your starter right now, what do you need from Sanders to feel confident going into next year that you don't have to draft a quarterback in the first round? What does he need to prove here in these final games?
I don't know that there's enough time to make you think, yep, that's the guy. Heaven forbid, okay? Let's say Shador goes out of the lineup and he gets injured.
Okay?
Let's say he gets a concussion, and I'm not wishing that on anybody. No. And Dylan goes in and plays really well the rest of the way. I don't think it's time enough that you could say, yep, Dylan Gabriel's our guy. I don't think there's enough time to say, yep, Shador's our guy, which takes us back to Mary Kay's point. Andy, they might be in a position that they may not be in for years to come. And I think they need to either absolutely think some quarterback next year is going to be just awesome, or go with the strategy that Denzel was laying out. Build that team, drop in a quarterback, or build a team around one of these quarterbacks. And move forward. I mean, to me, it looks like Shador has some abilities that he might be able to really become a starting quarterback in the league. Dylan, not as much as Shador, in a very limited sample size for Shador. And we all know, and if you put a decent team out there next year, you punch up that line, you throw out, let's say, two wide receivers, one in the draft, one in free agency. And Deshaun Watson's arm is okay? You don't think he could win some games next year?
Yeah, I know. But nobody wants to hear that.
No, and nobody wants nobody wants to hear
when
that.
When he got hurt, man, people are like, he'd never seen him again. I don't know. I still think.
It gets back to
not see him this year,
His arm looked shot. Before the Achilles, his arm looked dead.
Well, he's had plenty of time to rest it.
I know. Mm-hmm. If he can throw.
I want to talk about the Cavs game for last night. So, you know, the Cavs are missing seven guys, Jeff, last night to injury and just little nagging stuff that's going on.
There's something going on there, boy.
So they lose last night to the Raptors 110-99. And I get it. It's early in the season, and we all kind of went through.
You're going to lose games.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. And I kind of want to make sure that they're healthy at the end of the year than we are now. Like, I get it. I understand it. I'm just saying it was aggravating to watch the game. And I'm just going to give you the last 5 minutes of the game, Jeff, because this is the part that's aggravating, okay? So they're down, what, 103-93. Mitchell comes down, nails a 26-footer, three-pointer. Like, rips the net. I love those shots, right? Those are fun, right?
They count more when they rattle and go in.
You should get more if that makes a sound.
It should be four.
I agree. So they come back down again, and now there's 4:37 to go in the game. And it's 103-99 after Mitchell makes another three-pointer. So now they're only down four. And I just don't understand why we have to keep jacking up threes with no rebounds and not – like, they're back in the game, right? They're there. They're right there. Boom. You're down four with 4:37 to go. But there's no offensive strategy other than get the ball across midcourt, find a guy who's outside the three-point arc, and shoot. It's so hard to watch. So, I mean, I could keep going through. I don't even want to go through all the misses because, you know, Mitchell makes these great baskets, but then he starts missing threes. And you're just like, this is so hard to watch. You know, they had a challenge that got overturned, and they could have used another challenge later. 3:19 to go. It's 106-99. Mitchell misses three-pointer. 2:47. Mitchell misses pull-up jump shot. 106-99. I mean, I can read the whole thing. It's just... There was no patience. Lonzo Ball, 140 to go, was 108-99. Misses running pull-up jump shot. You want me to keep going? 107, Mitchell misses 29-foot three-pointer. It was 110-99, and that was it. Stick a fork in him. Nope, 36 seconds. Lonzo Ball misses a three-pointer, 110-99, and that's your final anyway. Jeff, I hate watching this basketball like this. This team has so much talent. Why can't we just get the ball down low and put it up, take two, and go play some defense? Why is that such a difficult concept in the NBA?
Well, Andy,
I can't. It's hard to watch, especially when you know these guys are talented, right? Okay, so you rip a three here.
Very good.
That's cool. You're wide open. I'm good with that. But why can't we move the ball around a little bit at the end of the game? I know you're missing seven guys, but you're professional athletes. Like it doesn't even seem like they're being coached.
They are,
and I'm not ripping Kenny because I like Kenny. I think he's a good coach. But I just
his offensive philosophy is what's become today's NBA for a lot of teams, which is threes and layups. And mid-range shots are analytically the most inefficient shot in basketball. This is what I have a little bit of a problem with. And you know, we'll see. Is this a recipe for playoff success? I don't know. The number one team, Andy, in the NBA in three-point shots attempted per game. Who do you think it is?
Probably us.
That is correct.
Yes.
44.4 threes per game. Next is Kenny's team where he came from, the Golden State Warriors. So it's the system that he learned under Steve Kerr. And, you know, Kenny did a fine job when he was in Brooklyn, but kind of went to finishing school there with the Golden State Warriors. Cavs are number one in threes attempted, but 21st in three-point percentage make. So you're taking a ton of threes, but a lot of other teams are shooting it better than you are. Is that the best way to score a lot of points? It might be, because you're jacking up a lot of shots.
Do you like watching this?
No, I hate it.
Okay, I'm not crazy.
No. There's nothing more fun than when a guy gets on a roll, nailing threes. And there's nothing uglier than when you're clanking threes off the rim. It's just not fun basketball. To me, the beauty of basketball is in ball movement and motion offense. That's if you're looking for the beautiful game, that's what it is. It's ball movement and motion in your offense. It's not run down the floor, jack up a three, and then sneak it inside for a guy to get a dunk. Okay, now that might be the best way to win. Worked for Golden State for a long time, didn't it? But right now, the Cavs are number one in threes per game attempted and 21st in percentage. I'd balance that out a little bit more.
I'm just looking at the fourth quarter spray chart on this. They hit three threes and missed seven threes. And like everything in the paint Looks good. I mean, I'm just looking at all these shots they made inside the paint. Okay, take them. Meanwhile, Toronto, I'm looking at the other side of this thing. It's just it's frustrating to watch it. Like, I just don't.
Well, you don't like that style of basketball.
It's just not enjoyable.
Guess what?
Unless you're making
either.
All of them. I love it when you make them.
Well, when you're on
if you're
going to
make
fun.
Them. Yeah, if you make them all, my God, it's the greatest thing I've ever seen. But I'm just watching last night's game, and I'm just like, this team is better than what I saw. They're able to move the ball. You know, there were zero mid-range shots yesterday in the fourth quarter. Zero, Jeff. I look at the whole game, try to figure it out. Yeah, they took a couple. It's frustrating to watch because I love the game. I really do. But I just don't like watching some of the stuff that we're seeing. I'll grab a couple. Let's see what the fans think here. The mayor. Let's go to the mayor. What's up?
Hey, Andy. Jeff.
Yes.
Andy, I'm stealing one of your lines.
Go ahead.
Okay. When I go out, you know, you guys know Billy Morris, right?
Yeah, I know he is.
Okay. He lets me sing The End of the Night now.
Oh, that's awesome.
Again. And he sings Fight for Your Right. But Billy introduced me. Ken's gone through a lot of health issues, and I go through your routine about be a hero, be a real hero.
Right.
Okay.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So
as we all learned this week with Bernie too, right?
Yeah. I'm so happy for Bernie. You know, I've been through this kind of thing, and I'm just so happy for him. But let me just throw a couple other stats out at you guys about last night. All right. Donovan Mitchell and LaMelo Ball were 9 of 35.
Mm-hmm.
5 of 24 from three. Evan Mobley got 7 shots. Naquan Tomlin got 8. What? Evan Mobley should have went in at halftime and said, "Look, guys, I'm demanding the ball. Get me the damn ball, okay? Because I'm playing Jacob Poeltl." And what I'm trying to understand here too is, these guys are all under 30, right?
Mm-hmm. Or Jakob Poeltl.
You remember when you were under 30, you could go all day.
Yes.
And can you imagine Charles Barkley, Michael Jordan, Dr. J, the mailman, Kobe, or any of these guys walking into the locker room and saying, "You're on rest tonight"? Yeah, they'd have a few choice words for the coach, don't you
for
think?
For sure, for sure.
I mean, this is crazy.
I don't care.
Guys, I don't care that they've played more games than anybody else. I don't care. That's not even 20 games. Get your butt out there and play. I'm tired of this. Guys, they're off until Friday. Are you serious?
Mayor, I hear you. Have a good Thanksgiving, my friend.
Kenny, I love you, but I don't want to hear it. You guys, they're going to get fined again.
Yeah, well.
They just might.
Yeah. Mayor, thank you.
This is garbage. This is total garbage.
I hear you, bro. I hear you. I'm watching last night's game, and I'm just like, I can't believe I invested time in this. To watch any of this.
I just got a text from a buddy of ours who played college basketball and went to NBA training camp and tryouts. Said he totally agrees with what we're saying, but Golden State did it, and it worked.
Yeah, if you make them, that's awesome.
Well, because they had Steph Curry.
Yeah.
Maybe the greatest shooter of all time, next to Klay Thompson, one of the great shooters of all time.
Mm-mm. Jeff is in Northern Carolina, or California, sorry. Hi, Jeff.
Good morning, guys. I listen to your show on and off during the week. Obviously,
awesome.
It takes me a while since there's a little bit of difference in time. But
yeah, thank you.
I want to turn to the Browns. I've been watching your team since, just to give you a date range, since Mr. Turkey
Jones, yep.
James tried to make Terry Bradshaw a spike in the football field. And okay. It's kind of ironic that we kind of – And I, to this day, I still hate the Steelers. I don't care what they say. But the thing I can't figure out is there's two things that a player has that you can never figure out. Why they want to be great, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I've always come up to the conclusion that great players are two types. You have great players that want to be great and do what they need to and get paid. And then you have great players that are first-round picks, and you have to wait to see how they pan out. We happen to have one that wants to be great, and we're complaining about it. We have a choir boy. The only thing he's guilty of is speeding ticket. And yet, people want to hate him. He showed more in one game than Dillon Gabriel did in five. So I do not understand why we don't embrace him. And I do think that...
Who said we're not embracing him?
I think everybody is over the top embracing
him. Yeah, I don't know where you're missing the embrace. Hey, Jeff, thank you. I'm a little confused on the entire phone call, but thank you for calling. Appreciate it. And we do appreciate the fact you're out in California and you're listening to us on the Odyssey app. One more. Todd Akron. Stock Cavs. Go ahead, my friend.
I agree with the first argument about the guy, you know, the player. The Cavaliers came into the season with injuries. I was upset when I heard that. You had a whole summer. What the hell are you doing where you can't be 100% when the season starts? They're getting all this money, and I can't stand to see them sitting on the sideline with their civilian clothes on, or military. That's why I said civilian, or regular clothes on. They should not be with – oh, my God. That's why I can't watch the games right now. They're lazy as hell, and I agree with you when you said they should be low post instead of shooting up all these threes. That's the way I teach my son. Get to the low post. Quit shooting up all these threes.
I got to tell you, Todd.
You're not coaching in today's NBA because it's all about threes and layups, my
Todd,
friend.
Todd, I would let my kid play for you. I just want you to know that. Todd, you're an excellent coach. We need more coaches like you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Todd. Appreciate it.
Andy, some of this...
Happy Thanksgiving.
Some of this has to be on Evan Mobley. And not the whole style of play. But as Ken said earlier, Evan's got to demand the ball. He's got to be a little more aggressive. He took 7 shots last night. He had 7 guys down, and Evan took 7. How does that happen? How does that happen? And, you know, if you're not hitting your 3, what's the best solution? Keep jacking up more. Cavs shot 29% on 3s last night.
It was horrific to watch that fourth quarter yesterday. I mean, there was just no offensive game plan at all. Here's ball, get outside arc, shoot. Oh, no rebound. How about even just waiting for a guy to get underneath the basket so maybe you could get a rebound? It's hard to watch that kind of basketball.
Well, it's ugly basketball
and
if
knowing,
it's not working.
I think the hard part is that I know this team is extremely talented, and I love watching them play, but it is so hard to watch that. Cavs lose 110-99.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House Original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.